This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, February 10th. Well, I'm going to talk a bit about the crop report yesterday and also about world cash wheat prices and kind of give a summary of what's happening in the market here. The crop report was disappointing, to say the least. The market had been clearly leaning toward a bullish report, looking and expecting for USDA to increase exports and decrease ending stocks for corn and beans. And USDA did do that, but not nearly to the degree that the trade is expecting, especially for corn. And considering the massive amount of corn that China has bought over the last just couple weeks, that didn't show up in the report either. So let's just look at the numbers and then we'll talk about the market reaction. We'll start in wheat, of course. For the United States, very little changes in wheat for the most part. There was some by class adjustments where they took exports up for hard red spring and white wheat, most of that primarily because of China purchases. They lowered hard red winter wheat exports slightly. So basically, exports were unchanged for all the wheat and ending stocks were unchanged. They did take average price up 15 cents or sitting right at $5 even. For world numbers, however, some adjustments there. Consumption, they increased 9.8 million tons, and that was primarily on feed usage coming out of China. China feed use is at a record 30 million tons. That's up 5 million from just last month's estimate, and it's up 4 over the last record in 2013. So we've seen this. You know, China's been buying the lights out of corn, but they've also been selling a huge amount of their government stocks into the domestic market. All of this going to feed, because this is low quality wheat. You know, every week for years they've been offering wheat in their auctions, but they rarely sell anything, except for about the last month they've been selling everything they've auctioned off, upwards of 5 million tons every week. So we're looking at huge demand for feed grain in China. Some of this is because of some disappointing production there, but also primarily because they're revamping their hog herd. They're going to more to commercial production like we do here. And it's just creating a huge demand for feed grain in particular. And that comes, of course, with corn. It comes with wheat. And it comes with soy meal, which is why they've been such a huge buyer of soybeans. And they'll crush that in their plants over in China. Part of the demand structure for China here in the United States is that soybean plantings were late in Brazil, and so harvest is late, and corn planting, second season corn planting, which is very important in Brazil, that's also going to be late. And it pushes that the critical part of the corn growing season into more of the dry seasonal time period for Brazil. So we're at least 3 weeks slow in getting the soybean crop in because of dryness early in the season. Now they've got some rain on mature soybeans, or they're having trouble getting it out. So it's going to push corn plantings even further behind. So this is where so much of the huge increase in feed grain demand is coming from for China. The demand itself, but also the sourcing of those supplies, normally would be coming from South America here fairly soon. It's just not there. So they continue to come to the United States. Now, getting back to world wheat, China imports, they took up one at 10 million tons. India food use is increased 3.5 million tons, so they're also at a record usage of 96.5 million tons. And some of that is, quite a bit of it, they're including wheat products in the food assistance programs that they've got because of COVID relief. So we're seeing huge increase in demand and consumption of wheat by China and India, the world's two largest wheat producers and consumers. Exports were increased slightly for the European Union and Kazakhstan, and much of that because of the Russian export tax that has rocketed up their domestic prices and made European wheat competitive in the world market. Not that they have a lot more to sell, because that's why they were higher priced in the beginning, but we have seen them sell more wheat simply because world prices have rallied to the point where the Russian tax FOB offers would make them, which has made, again, the European Union competitive. Kazakhstan also competitive as well. They decreased exports just slightly for Argentina. Ending stocks for the world were down 9 at 304 million tons. It's still a record. And I think that's kind of the bottom line here is we're still got plenty of wheat around the world. We still got plenty here in the United States. It's not burdensome here in the United States at 836 million bushels, but still it's a tightening type of situation. I think what's also worth pointing out is of the 304 million tons of world ending stocks for wheat, China owns 51%. They have 155 million tons, and that number gets even bigger for corn that we'll touch on here in a second. So that's where wheat is. We're in a comfortable situation when it comes to wheat supplies. We're comfortable as far as quality wheat supplies. We know that with Russia largely on the sidelines, that world prices will rally up to their FOB offers, which will include the 50 euro a ton tax, at least until June 1. Then we'll start looking at even a higher tax for wheat coming out of Russia. So while the grains may get a correction here, ultimately we're still in a longer-term bull market in across all the major grains. Now in corn, U.S. exports were increased 50 million bushels. That took it up to 2.6 billion. Ending stocks were decreased that 50 million to 1.5 billion. Average price was increased 10 cents to $4.30 a bushel. In world corn numbers, Argentina and Brazil both saw their exports increased for old crop and then left unchanged for new crop. So even with some of these weather problems that we've been seeing, USDA left it alone as far as production and exports. Argentine production at 47.5 million tons, exports at 34, both of those were unchanged. Brazil production at 109 million tons for corn, exports were at 39 million, both of those unchanged from last month. Ending stocks for world corn up 3 at 286 million tons. And here, China has 68%. Of the world's corn ending stocks at 196 million tons. And they continue to buy the lights out of corn. They had record purchases just in the last couple of weeks from the United States. So they're not slowing down as far as corn sales. Now they're in a holiday period, so that's probably why they were ramping up before the holiday. But again, it really is, you know, demand is massive from China. Some of this, you know, some people are making arguments that it's partly too that they would rather be in, they'd rather have grain supplies rather than a cryptocurrency or other types of hard assets. We already know that they own a significant percentage of the world's gold supply, as does Russia. They are a creditor nation, so you know, they have a lot of leverage. They're in a very good position. You know, with them though, you know, having grain is fine, but you have to have decent storage capacity. And that's really one thing they do not have. That's why wheat goes bad on them after just a few years. They're notorious for buying huge amounts of grain at sky-high prices. That's part of the reason they are sky-high is because they're buying massive amounts. But they put it in storage and then it sits there and it deteriorates. The wheat that they're selling in their government auctions is wheat that's been in storage for 5 or 6 years, and it's feed quality. Well, it's certainly not feed quality when they've purchased it and imported it, but it doesn't store well there. And by the time it leaves, I mean, they're sitting there, they have comfortable stocks. You know, they own half the world's wheat stocks, 2/3 of the world's corn stocks. But if you don't have a good way to store it, it's not going to be food worthy, certainly. Feed grain worthy, fine. But the bottom line is that's obviously not slowing them down at this point. There continue to be huge buyers of grains. And soybeans, it's no different. U.S. soybeans, the numbers from yesterday, USDA left the crush unchanged at 2.2 billion. Exports were raised 20 million at 2.25 billion. Ending stocks were down to 20 million at 120 million bushels. That is a drop of 77% from just a year ago. and it's the lowest ending stocks for soybeans since the 2013-2014 marketing year. Average prices were left unchanged for soybeans, however, at $11.15. For world numbers, Argentina and Brazil, again, were left unchanged. Argentine production at 48 million tons and exports at 7. Brazil production at 133 million tons and exports at 85. And most all of that will go to China. Some of those exports probably will go to the United States. Ending stocks for the world for soybeans down 1 million tons at 83.3 million tons. And there, China owns 34% of those soybeans at 28.6 million tons. So there's a lot of numbers to chew on, but the bottom line, the trade is expecting something far more bullish, and they just didn't get it. So we put in a new high before the report in corn and wheat, and new contract high for wheat. It was just a swing high. But by the end of the day, we'd had an outside day lower in corn and wheat. So we had a key reversal in corn, just an outside day lower in wheat. For soybeans, we've never been able to get back up to that high from mid-January. Yesterday was a swing high, and then it actually bounced pretty well on the close. After the report, it was trading negative numbers, and then by the close, we were actually up double digits into the teens. So it was an impressive rally on the close. But coming into the night session, everything was lower. 4 or 5 cents in wheat, down 8 or so in beans and corn. And for today's session, we're getting some continued selling. We're down pretty hard everywhere. Wheat is down about 18, soybeans down 42, and corn is down about 16 midday. I'm leaning that we saw our high. You know, this is a normal seasonal pattern where you tend to rally into early February and quite often put in your high on a crop report. I expected that would happen this year, but I thought we would get a bullish crop report. Now, the trade was leaning for bullish numbers, and USDA gave them a little bit of what they were looking for, but again, not near to the degree. So even though we didn't get the bullish crop report, we still got a high and a reversal down and a major sell signal, which is being confirmed today. So I would look for probably another couple weeks to the downside, generally speaking. For corn and soybeans, we are harvesting in Brazil for soybeans. I think that's going to have the bigger trouble regaining some upward momentum. For corn, that's a different story completely because of the delayed plantings for the second season corn crop in Brazil and Argentina. And like I said earlier, pushing those critical growth stages into the drier part of the year could really set the stage for some dynamics as you get into April and May, when that crop would be being harvested and taking on and going over to China. So old crop corn stocks, I think, are still at risk. And so that means wheat stocks are still at risk. Wheat will follow corn, but I think corn will become the leader of the complex. You're getting a washout today, and I would expect you'll probably come back down and test the lows from late January and then probably establish some kind of a range. But ultimately, it sure would seem that with the demand pace and the export pace of corn that has really not yet been put into the USDA supply demand reports, that and coupled with Brazil's late planting, I just think that there's more to corn in the upside and the need to buy more acres into the spring. You could see another run up in April and May, especially as you prep for the planting season. So I'm not bearish any of the grains. I just expect that with the fundamental picture kind of shifting yesterday and the technical picture giving us a major sell signal and the timing, the seasonal, all of that points to a high for now, an intermediate term high. We'll get a correction. We'll reset everything. We'll get this market out of its way overbought status. And then that sets us up for the next run into the growing season. There's a lot of time left between now and when we harvest this next crop, and it needs to be a big one. We need to get the acres in, and we need to get the yield, at least average yields, or else you have another supply problem. So it's, you know, again, the bull market is far from over, but we are going to go into more of a correction phase here. And I think if you're going to get something to the upside, it will be led by corn. And obviously, that will help soybeans because you're going to be doing that right as producers are getting in the field planting. So if soybeans don't keep up, and if you have an open planting season early, you're going to see a lot of corn acres go in at the expense of soybeans. And two, wheat is going to tag along just simply because it can substitute in for feed grains. So corn will be the leader. I think once we get our correction here, probably late Feb, early March, that sets the stage for the next leg up, and I think it's worth taking a shot at. And real quick, just a note on world cash wheat prices. The weekly wrap-up of the around the globe, we see that Russian prices, FOB offers, did drop about $9 a ton. So that's a pretty healthy drop there. They're sitting around 290 to 293 FOB coming out of Russia. Everything was down. The U.S. Gulf hard red or soft red was down about $8 a ton. Hard red was also down about $8 per ton. They're trading neck and neck, and other countries were also lower as well. Everybody down between $8 and $9 a ton. So they're following Russia's lead, which is normal, and so that also added a negative fundamental to the market before the crop reports, and now that is behind us. It kind of sets the tone, I think, for short term. And we are hearing that Russian farmers have stepped up their selling quite a bit. When they look at what their domestic prices are going to be with the export tax starting March 1, well, got a €25 tax per ton starting February 15, and then on March 1 it bumps up to €50 a ton, and then June 1 it's €70 a ton over $200. It just is suffocating prices there, and so they're just letting it go. There's a ceiling on what they're going to get, and so they're just selling, and that's putting pressure on Russian domestic prices, and then obviously on the FOB offers as well, and that's going to then put some pressure on world prices. So we have probably found a ceiling, at least for now, but again, the demand is there. And I think, especially if feed grains start to move higher, wheat will tag along as well. Just give it some time before that happens. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.